Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer. Today, joined by Mr. Terence Corrigan. Today, we're going to be discussing, well, Terence's thoughts on the direction of the country's political debate, with reference to something that we actually talked about last week. We're also going to be discussing just the crazy stories of misgovernance that are coming out in the past couple of days. We really are blowing the standards out when it comes to corruption scandals. And lastly, we're going to quickly discuss the calls to end the national dialogue before it is even really going in any big way. So, Terence, you had published on the dailyfriend.co.za this morning a piece titled A Monday Morning Rant, in which you make some reference to a piece that we covered on the show, actually, I think last week, by Adrian Basson. And I think, Terence, the sort of underlying point here is that the country's debate is shifting in a way that I think we are quite pleased with. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what you said in this Monday morning rant?
Well, I read Mr. Basson's piece last week, and as I read it, my blood pressure started to rise, and I started to take on this appearance of, you know, kind of mentally unstable old man, which maybe is what I am, you know, who's like starts asking questions about whether society is in fact coddling kids who kick balls into neighbors' yards, and, you know, like I'm your neighbor, Mr. Bastard. And it was like, seriously, there's a couple of things I hate in this world. One of them is plagiarism. And here was Mr. Adrian Basson, a gentleman with whom I've crossed swords from time to time, you know, basically saying what I've been saying. So I was sort of like standing on my hobby horse going, I'll bloody sue. I'll just see if I don't. Get off my yard. I got a shotgun. And, you know, he was saying, for instance, okay, you know, we've just been hit by these tariffs and it's going to, like, you know, wreck the country. And Cyril chose ego. He couldn't concede anything. So what should he have done? Well, there's a couple of things. Well, we could have dialed back a bit on the EWC. And I said, well, been there, done that, dude, for many years, in fact, many of which have actually appeared on News24 platforms, including sometimes in response to things News24 itself has said, including an explainer, which, as I said in my response to it, was more about justifying than explaining this legislation. But here we are. Then there was BEE. Well, yeah, you know, the great holy cow of South African economic policy is due for a slaughtering. And of course, you know, Mr. Mbalula says no way, and Cyril says no way, and you know, many of the great and the good have been saying no way, or we need to do it better. You can't do this thing better, gotta get rid of it. And, you know, okay, so I said, actually, I'd go a bit further than Mr. Basson, but, you know, a win's a win. And he was saying, how about kill the Boer? Well, been there, done that. You know, top tip, don't get stadiums of people to scream, kill someone. You know, just don't. No, we don't do that. And then what was point number four? About things like having an ambassador in Washington. Yeah, you know, it's not a bad idea. You know, but once again, you can get someone to warm the seat, which we sort of have all over the world. But, you know, how about somebody who is actually a skilled diplomat? I mean, are there any left? I'm not sure. This is the problem when you turn your civil service into a...
You can, for a start, look for someone who isn't an ANC cadre with, you know, anti-American views. That might be a good start for a U.S. ambassador.
Yeah, you know, you can do that. There's no rule that says you can't. It's, you know, this... So anyway, you know, Bart Simpson, when he gets upset, he sometimes like switches over into Spanish, you know, ay caramba. With me, it's German. So like watching this, it was like, was ist denn das für Quatsch? What is this for nonsense? And, but, you know, it turns out I won't be suing because Mr. Basson says, let's do this, you know, to save trade relations. I think we've got to do this because these are fundamentally bad ideas and we need to change them. You know, let's say that if America kind of got hit by an asteroid or something, that'd still be bad. You know,
Right. If tomorrow President Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is elected in the U.S. and then destroys every trade barrier we have with South Africa. Our growth would basically not change.
Well, that's the point. You know, we actually need to have a situation where people are willing to put their money to invest. Now, let me just explain quick top tip for everyone. Investment is not some sort of thing that people with, you know, big tall hats and, you know, like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons do. It's something that business people do. You take some money and you put it into some activity, and you hope that, you know, it's going to appreciate in value, and you get more out of it. You know, that is, a university lecturer of mine used to say, capitalism. He used to say that with a particular inflection. Now I have a different view, but, you know, yes, that's what it is. At 15% GDP investment rate, we're not doing well. So we've got to get that up, and, you know. But everything that South Africa does policy-wise seems to push in the opposite direction.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny. You do everything to get a particular goal. Maybe that's the goal you're going to get. Just thought.
I will note, Terrence, that you've managed to spin what is, I think, objectively an amazing thing, which is the editor of one of the most important media organizations in the country coming around to our point of view as a bad thing.
If he came around that because his darling 5-year-old kid said that she's got a poster of me on his wall, I'd take it. Really, I don't care how you get around to it, but, you know, get around to it. But more importantly, I wish the powers that be would get around to it.
And that's the key point, right? Right. But I do think as you've just laid out, and as you lay out comprehensively in your piece with the links to prove it. This is something that you in particular, and also the Institute of Race Relations, have been banging on about. So many of these issues are core to the problems that we face in South Africa. The destruction of property rights through the expansion of expropriation without compensation, the creation of expropriation without compensation, the BEE sort of, I don't know, kind of mania that this is a policy that government sticks to more aggressively perhaps than any other, despite the fact that it is not producing results for the vast majority of South Africans, just endlessly irritating the US and playing funny games with race relations and stuff like that, you know, like kind of playing footsie with the song like Kill the Boer, just for the sake of ego and satisfying one's own ideological sort of good feelings and not actually for any real thing. We've been governed by a sort of ideological clique who is just completely detached from the needs and desires of the majority of South Africans, which is for an economy that grows and a society that is less poor than it was last year.
Right. No, absolutely. Look, you know, you must have seen Shrek as a younger whippersnapper. There's a wonderful line where Prince Farquaad says, "Some of you will die, but it is a sacrifice I'm willing to make." And it seems this is the ANC's approach to economic policy. Look, you know, I think that much of the commentary just gets the wrong end of the stick when they say, well, you shouldn't be bullied by America. You know, if we hadn't pushed ourselves into a position where we had denuded whatever moral and political capital we had, maybe we wouldn't be in that position. Note that it's not every country that's taken some of South Africa's positions is in America's crosshairs, because they've got other things that they can offer. If you're China, you've got this massive economy, and you've got, you know, like, you know, it's a serious player. If you're Spain, you've got NATO membership, and that's where all the Americans go on holiday.
For goodness sake, you know, Pakistan has been able to play the economic game better, and Pakistan is ruled basically by this kind of dysfunctional military clique that is like semi-democratic, and it's extremely corrupt and authoritarian, and yet they've managed to secure much better trade relations with the U.S., after Trump was anti-Pakistan in his first term, he's now sort of warmed up to them and is turning on India. I mean, if they can do it, we certainly can. This isn't just a thing that's happened to us. It's a choice that our government has made.
No, absolutely. And I think that there's an unfortunate problem here. Well, in all seriousness, that the idea overwhelms the reality. You know, you have you see this a lot on social media. BRICS is the solution. Okay, how? I can also make up a slogan. You know, I seriously, you know, hope that aliens are going to like land in my backyard and teach me the art of turning stones into gold. But my bank manager probably isn't going to buy it.
It reminds me of a relative of mine who says his pension plan is to win the lottery. But be that as it may, let's move on to our next story. And this is just kind of, I guess, compounding the, you know, the things we're talking about in the first one. That is, there were just two sort of corruption, chaos, mismanagement stories that caught our eye recently. I'll just mention the first one, which is not the heading here, but the DA in Parliament is concerned that members of the South African Defence Forces, National Defence Force, who were deployed to the DRC, are apparently owed significant sums of money as allowances that they were supposed to be paid for their deployment, in excess of 600,000 rand for some individual soldiers, and that there's this huge chunk of money of 813 million rand that was specifically earmarked for compensation of employees that is apparently missing. And it's, no one seems to be clear of what exactly has been paid and hasn't been paid, with the Department of Defense saying that no, they've paid all of these allowances, they don't know of any outstanding. So that's a bit concerning. It just seems fairly chaotic, regardless of whether that money is missing or not. But secondly, and this one is a just crazy corruption story, the Government Pensions Administration Agency committed to paying hundreds of millions of rands to a development company called Schuler Developers to lease a building and to refurbish offices in that building. Turns out, however, that developer does in fact not own the building that they are leasing, and that no one involved in this deal has access to it. There is no refurbishment taking place. There is no lease. It's owned by an entirely different company, and yet there's to the tune of I think almost a billion, just over a billion rand, according to the reporting here, that the pensions agency has spent apparently on this building. Terrence, you know, there was this sort of story that went around when Ramaphosa came to office, that we kind of had reached the peak of corruption and now we were going to turn things around and root things out. You see a story like this and you're like, man, this is as at home in the Zuma era as anything else was. I don't know. What's your take on this?
South Africa is like in season 9 of a sitcom that the screenwriters have run out of jokes and they're just recycling them. There was a time when we got shocked by this. There was a time when we got upset by this. But it's just money. But let me just make this plain. This 270 million and the 1 billion and whatever, that's, you know, effectively, you know, sucks out pension money. In other words, this, you know, all money is taxpayers' money. This money is like actual money that the government deducts to give back to you and holds in trust for you. Yeah, it's dreadful. As far as the soldiers go, you know, I imagine that's probably like their, you know, allowances given to them for being in a danger zone and separation from their families and whatever. No, the way in which our military has been treated is just utterly abominable. Yeah, you say, look, you send people
in
who
the
are,
DRC.
Yeah, people who are too old are sent, you know, are sent without the correct equipment to do a job with a very kind of flexible and difficult mandate. Half police, half, you know, half army. Who's your enemy? You don't know. You don't have the heavy weapon support. You then very humiliatingly get surrounded and effectively have to rely on the beneficence of your benevolence of your captors.
Enemies.
And look, you know, I've said this before, and I think a military capability is a necessity for a state, but if this is the way it's going to be handled, abolish the whole thing. Take some of those people, you could maybe use them as a special kind of gendarmerie or border patrol or whatever, pay the rest off and shut the thing down because it's a joke.
No, it is just appalling that our soldiers have been treated so badly. I mean, to kind of go through that whole humiliating experience, be trapped in the DRC for a while, then sort of shuttled out, after you'd watched all the heavy equipment be moved out before you, showing where the priorities of the state were, and then, allegedly being owed this money and not being paid it. If it turns out that indeed the government has not paid this money over and it's just disappeared somewhere, it's a travesty. Anyway,
Absolutely.
just horrid, 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 horrid story. But in more amusing news, the sort of tide seems to be growing against the national dialogue. We covered last week the decision of several former presidents and other sort of esteemed NGOs and organizations which had been party to the national dialogue are pulling out. Then Action SA, ever a political party that always seems to sort of feel the vibes out there, and then make their decisions based on that, said that they're not going to be taking part in the national dialogue either. And I see today that DA leader John Steenhuisen is calling explicitly for Cyril Ramaphosa to end the national dialogue and take on board what he says is the DA's policy proposals to supercharge the economy. Steenhuisen said that the Triple BEE Act, the Employment Equity Act, and the Expropriation Act needed to be dismantled in order to supercharge investment, and that now is the time for urgent action to fix the economy and create jobs. Must say, I tend to agree with Mr. Steenhuisen there. But Terence, on the subject of the national dialogue, it does seem as though the sort of tide is kind of swinging against the national dialogue now. And do you think this thing is going to regain any momentum, or do you think it's kind of just going to become, a damp squib?
I would advise everyone to go to our website, ir.org.za, because I had a piece in Report yesterday and a sort of mirror. The article is available free to read on that site, where I discuss this. The national dialogue, I think, is about two things. First of all, it's about a massive organized evasion of responsibility. If everyone's talking about this wonderful future they have, maybe in some way there's a resignation. They have to draw a line under all the dreadful stuff that's happened. We can sort of hand the problem over, but it's like handing it over as in a hand grenade without the pin in. The government can sort of shrug its shoulders with this who farted look on its face and say, well, we're not doing any, the people are dealing with it now. You have a government to deal with. Never mind. This is probably anyway. So that's number one. Number two is that President Ramaphosa wants a legacy. I think that's fundamentally what it is. We have this wonderful myth in this country that we're a nation that can always negotiate things. I don't know where they get this from because most of our history has been about refusing to talk to one another. The tale of the GNU has largely been a case of refusing to talk with one another. Just today, I think it was actually in that same press conference, Steenhuisen was saying that the president doesn't talk to him. So, if you can't do that, when you are literally in the same room, literally, probably around the same table, unless maybe you're not, maybe this is not something that President Ramaphosa is less available to the media than any of his predecessors, including Big Bad Zuma. I mean, it's a joke, but the point is, he is still very associated with that idea. And he's got an avuncular personality. A lot of people still like him. So I think what he's hoping to do is exit the stage with nothing really to show for it, because as you say, corruption, economic growth, investment, employment, blah, 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 blah. There has things have not got appreciably better, and many in some respects have got worse. And no, it's not just about COVID, people. Top tip, this is not just about COVID. We were struggling before COVID. It's been as his preferred modus operandi is to sort of engage and talk and whatever. And I think that is now that's now worn off. And now I think what he wants to do is to hand over, the whole problem and exit stage at the end of his presidency, sort of saying, well, I get or be recognized as the guy who gifted South Africa their vision of a future. I think that's basically the only thing that he can hope to be remembered for.
And I think that goal is receding, at least with any sort of, I'm sure he'll claim that, but as with any sort of credibility, I think that's receding into the
look, you
background.
know, the thing is that when groups like the Cathrada Foundation or whatever, and these are ideologically very closely aligned with the ANC, you know, supposedly the sort of better ANC, if you want to put it like that, then you really don't have very much. Action SA is saying they're not going to participate. Look, it's a relatively small party, but yeah, you know, I think that,
It is a barometer.
yeah, and I think that a lot of my sense of it is that if you had to do a poll around the country, you would find that there's a lot of gutfulness. You know, what is this going to achieve? You know, if you're kind of on the lower end, you get a lunch pack and a t-shirt and get to go and listen to, you know, some Kwaito and a few speeches. If you're more on the more upside, you know, you get to go to a hotel for a day and get the buffet and, you know, get to sort of speak from a podium. But you know, if your starting point, which I think that you know, the last NEC meeting points to that, well, nothing will change because these are our principles. You know, as Adolf Hitler once said, "Bis ins Grab hinein," right into the grave, which unfortunately is kind of where we seem to be going, and fortunately was where he ended up.
You
I'd
know,
rather look. Top tip, do not take what Adolf Hitler said as a good thing.
yes, no, good advice. I, you know, the money does not exist for such a thing, but I would be very fascinated to know to have. I'm sure if you remember the coverage of the election, there was that tracking poll in the last couple of weeks that the Social Research Foundation through Victory Research did on the political party support, which turned out to be an amazingly sort of useful, accurate barometer of how the election was going to turn out. I would love to see one on Cyril Ramaphosa's favorability. We get snapshots of it every now and again when the question is asked, you know, how South Africans feel about Cyril. And there was a time when his popularity was in the 70s. Sort of 70% of South Africans were pretty fond of him, including many people who didn't vote for him. And since then, his popularity has dropped and dropped and dropped, and it's gone all the way down now into the 40s. At the end of his presidency, I do wonder whether it is going to be above the 30s. And the current trajectory things are going, I would be surprised if it was anything higher than 40% approval for him. Anyway, I'm not going to get that because it's very expensive to do that kind of polling, but it would be fascinating to know what South Africans think. And I would not be surprised if Cyril Ramaphosa is starting to really feel the heat when it comes to dissatisfaction with his presidency. But that's all the time we have for today. We hope you found this show interesting. Terence, I hope you found the moment of expressing the dissatisfaction you have with all the nonsense in your satisfying to the soul. And
All I've got
we
to
will
say
see
is get off my lawn.
Amen. All right. We'll see you all tomorrow on the Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.